Hello and welcome to In Business Talks 2. We are excited to welcome you to our bonus episode, The Friday Fix, episode 16. We are your hosts, Tracy and Ian O, founders of In Business, a networking and business support community. And together,
we are In Business.
Every Friday, we will be discussing a business-related subject with either one of our wonderful In Business networking members or a fellow business owner who will be sharing their advice, thoughts or knowledge on a particular topic.
This week we have Alan Ruddock of Linked Business. Alan's one of our In Business members. Alan's business passion is supporting small businesses, especially with leveraging LinkedIn. He works with his clients to ensure they create the right first impression with a powerful personal profile, supported by a professional business presence. Then he supports them to find their ideal customers, then connect and engage with them in the right way so that they become customers. Alan can be contacted on LinkedIn, obviously, through his LinkedIn company page, via email, Facebook and Twitter. We'll put all the details in the show notes, and Alan also does a masterclass for LinkedIn if you're interested. Oh, and make sure you listen to the end of the show to hear Alan talk about his favourite networking tip. To welcome our guest today to the Friday Fix, it's Alan Ruddock of Linked Business. Welcome, Alan.
Welcome, Alan. Good to have you with us today.
Thanks very much for inviting me on, guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're our LinkedIn expert, and you are a member of In Business, so it's good to have you on the show.
It's really great to be here. I've really enjoyed joining In Business and getting to know all you guys. And even though we're spread around the country, it's really good to meet so many friendly faces on Zoom and chat as part of In Business.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you. Before we start, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do, Alan, please?
Yeah, sure. I help people leverage LinkedIn for their business. So my original career was as a project and program management consultant. And when I got made redundant, I started a business with a colleague. And of course, we thought, we're great project managers. People will come and buy us. But we had no idea how to market or run a business. So we had a real roller coaster ride for 6 or 7 years until my business partner went back into corporate. So we closed that company down. I started another one. And I joined various entrepreneurs and marketing masterminds and groups to learn how to actually run a business and market it. And one of the key things, which is what I'm going to talk about today, is understanding who your customer is and where they are. And it was quite clear that my project management customers were all on LinkedIn. So I started to use LinkedIn properly and with a bit of blogging and a bit of Twitter to get the content out there, and then grew that consultancy business into a six-figure business per annum for the next 6-7 years, with virtually every single client coming through being a LinkedIn connection. And then when I wanted to get away from that, because a lot of traveling, I was spending a lot of time away from home, and I'd helped my ex-wife set up a domiciliary care business, and we started to get into various other businesses, I decided to use my experience and knowledge of using LinkedIn to help other small business owners grow their businesses. And that's basically what I do now in various forms.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. Interesting. Okay, then. So what's the biggest reason people fail to get business from using LinkedIn then, in your opinion? What is the biggest reason people fail?
Yeah, absolutely. And it all starts really from a key aspect of marketing. So this is true, and this applies across the board, whether it's LinkedIn, any social media platform, any marketing you do. And that is, you really have to understand who your target market is. Because if you don't really understand who you're trying to attract to your LinkedIn profile, how on earth can you create a profile that's going to encourage those people to connect with you? How on earth can you actually engage with them in the right way? How can you put out content that's going to appeal to them if you don't know and really understand who they are? So it's a fundamental factor in getting LinkedIn up to speed to make it productive for you.
Interesting, yeah.
So is that more getting the right profile, or is it about your content, or is it both things together?
It's both things together, very definitely. Yeah. I mean, so many people I talk to say to me, oh, I've been on LinkedIn for years. I've got an all-star profile, and I don't get anything through LinkedIn. And then when I take a look at their profile, it's typically written in the way LinkedIn encourages you to create your profile, which is like a CV, an online CV, because their main rationale for being there is to actually help people get jobs and help recruiters right. find people for jobs. So they want everybody to have their CV, their profile built like a CV,
yes.
which is great if you're looking for a job, but it's rubbish if you're trying to actually grow a business. Yeah. For people in business who want to connect with people that are in paid employment, but might buy their services, it's great because those CVs mm-hmm. will be keyword stuffed and enable you to search and find the right people that you want to connect and engage with. But as a business owner, your profile needs to be not so much about you, but what you right. can do mm-hmm. for your clients. And if you don't understand who those clients yeah. are, how can you write that profile
yeah.
to speak to them? Yeah. You've really got to speak to their language, speak to their pain, right. their desire,
yeah,
all that sort
so
of
many,
thing.
Profiles where it's I used to do this, I was in this for this long, and I did this, and like saying no one's interested in that. It's about what you can do for your customers, isn't it?
Absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, the classic is the accountant that he starts his about section with I've been a qualified yeah. accountant for 25 years da, 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 da.
Yeah,
yawn. I'm bored before I've even, you know, there's no way I'm going to click more and find out what you really do, because you're not talking to me. I don't care how experienced you are. I want to know, can you fix my problem? You know, I've got a capital gains problem. Can you fix it?
Yeah, you don't, do you? Do you have a capital gains problem? No.
I thought I had, but my accountant, who is switched on, excellent. Told me I don't have a capital gains problem.
So what would your general advice be then? What sort of tips can you sort of throw out there today for us that might help people? What should we be thinking about it when we're creating a profile and when we're trying to identify our target audience? Are there some tips you could give us some pointers?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to assume that you're already in business and you've already got some good customers that you yeah. really enjoy working with. Because if that's the case, then connect with those ideal customers on LinkedIn, get them to give you recommendations, and then talk to them about what it is about you that they like working yeah. with. Okay. What problems did they have that you fixed right. for them? Because if you want to attract more of the same, your profile has got to talk that language right. to that yeah, type of person. So it's really important. If you start from a basis of these are my great clients, how can I let's look at what they look like. And if you create your profile to attract people like that or to speak to people like that, then you're likely to attract more of the same,
right.
which is
right.
more great
sense.
Clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And another great tip is that if you're connected to your clients, the chances are, because they've been in their industry for quite a few years or whatever, they, through using LinkedIn, will have connected with other people they've worked with over the years that have gone on to other companies and are doing similar things to them in other companies. So they'll be your second tier connections, and they could be your next best client. So ask your clients to introduce you to their former colleagues, because they could be your next best client. So that's another great way of getting quick wins from your profile
yeah.
and getting new business.
Sounds good.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we use LinkedIn all the time. We don't tend to bother much with. We're on Facebook, aren't we? But I don't think it's where our audience tends to be. I think LinkedIn is more of a business platform, isn't it? We've found. Yeah, we get better connections,
yeah,
we get better engagement
really.
Don't we, with people on LinkedIn. Yeah, so it is a good platform, isn't it? We do like.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and the engagement level has gone up by more than 50% during lockdown as well, as more people have found time to actually spend some quality time on LinkedIn and have actually started to see the value in it. Because a lot of people used to dip in and out and think, oh, I'm not really getting anything from this. It felt a bit stuffy by comparison with Facebook. But in turn, LinkedIn has lightened up a little, but people are now spending more time engaging with it and are actually getting into using it better. So it's definitely the platform to be.
Yeah. If I think
you're
that was, I just picked up there on quality time on LinkedIn. I think that's the key, isn't it? The quality time.
Yeah.
Rather than just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, just like, you know, it's actually engaging properly with people and making those, building those relationships.
So would you suggest then that to work LinkedIn properly, apart from getting your profile right and everything else, you should spend maybe, I don't know, an hour a day just focusing on doing LinkedIn stuff, commenting, liking, posting?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So the best, you need to have a strategy of what you're trying to achieve with LinkedIn. That's what, one of the sort of second tier of mistakes that people make. They think they're going on it and they're going to bung some content out there, and then they're sitting there and expecting things to come back to them. You have to have a strategy and think about the customer journey. So you've got this ideal customer. So what if you find him, what's the journey you're going to take them through to get them to connect with you, then show them some stuff and then engage with you and then hopefully buy from you. But if you don't understand what that customer journey is you're going to try and take them on, you don't know whether you're actually going in the right direction with them even. And that engagement is really, really important. I have this sort of social media mantra, which is that the volume of connections you've got are vanity. Yeah, you can have thousands of connections, but if they're not engaged with you, they're never going to buy from you. So, you know, connections are vanity, engagement is sanity. And it's only through the right engagement will they, those connections turn into leads for your business.
Yeah. It's funny, I've noticed on LinkedIn as well, it's funny how sometimes you put a post out there and you get a few views and you think, oh, this is going to be a great post. It's full of information and stuff like that. and no one seems to view it or read it. And then something else you might throw out there, which you'd think, bah, I'll just type this out and I've had a great day today. I've just had a chocolate cake from a breakfast, whatever that might be. And suddenly you get people commenting and you think, well, there's no value in that. But it seems, I just don't get it, Alan. Why, you know, what a good post is and what a good post isn't it? It eludes me.
Yeah,
and it can be very frustrating because sometimes you put out something you think is really, really important and really valuable, and it doesn't seem to get that much traction and that much engagement. And then you put out a post about the fact that you had a really bad day yesterday, but that you decided to shut the laptop down and go for a walk in the countryside. And while you were out there, it inspired you to come back and get stuck into your business again. Now, you know, that sort of post actually really, really resonates because it shows the authentic you. And you have to let a little bit of you come through in your profile. And if you think about it, pre-lockdown, everything on Facebook was either all about you, what you had for lunch, what you're doing for dinner, or was people pitching at you, sell, sell, sell. And on LinkedIn, everything was a bit sort of starchy and a bit professional. There's been a little bit of that crossover now, and more people are showing something of themselves in their LinkedIn profiles, in their LinkedIn posting. And it's actually engaging people. It's about getting the balance right. So one of my mastermind group put out a post about how they'd actually ended up becoming an independent overseas tax advisor. And she had the best volume of views and comments and likes to that post than anything she'd ever had before. And it was showing a bit about herself, about her journey. It was a story, which we've all talked about how stories are great for helping you sell your business. So it was saying much more about her. And what it did was it reconnected her with people she's met along that journey that are still probably doing or relevant to her in her current business, and actually led them to say, I've forgotten all about you. Can I have a chat with you about, it generated business. And it was all about that little bit more personal type stuff that caused the engagement. So sometimes if you are a bit too formal and a bit too all business, people get a bit bored. If you show the real you, show the human you, the people will engage with you. And that means they'll read your business stuff or read the business implications of it and engage with you more because it's about stimulating that engagement.
Your best one was about asking whether you put your milk in you.
Oh yeah, the best one ever. I couldn't believe it. Was it cups of tea? Is it milk first or milk on or tea bag first? I must have about 6,000 views on that or something ridiculous. I thought, what's happened here? And God knows how many comments.
with regards content, I mean, what do you find works the best with posts? Is it just text on its own, or text with a picture, or videos?
I think videos can be really, really powerful because not many people are using video on LinkedIn. So you are going to stand out as something different if you're using video. And it doesn't have to be you looking at a screen, recording yourself. You can do video by using slide shares. So put together a little PowerPoint presentation, just 3 or 4 slides. Do it as a quick slideshow with a voiceover, or maybe not even with a voiceover. They tend to get really good visibility on LinkedIn if you put them out there. I've always advocated having an image to draw people's attention to your post. But I've heard other people say, actually, LinkedIn seems to favor text-only posts and push them harder. I really must try and do some experiments to see whether that sort of really applies.
I've done
some text-only
posts that haven't had a lot of engagement, but maybe I was just talking rubbish.
I think if you see an image, it stops you the scrolling, doesn't it? You look at an image and you're drawn to an image, and even for an instant, you stop, don't you? Or if it's just text, you tend to flick by it.
I'm not reading that.
Unless it actually catches your eye with a title or something. But
there must be some rhyme or reason with it all, but I think it's hard.
Yeah, from my perspective, I think an image, the right image, will draw attention to the subject matter you're talking about, and induce people to engage with it. But the issue is that a lot of images, people don't put alternative text on the image. And so when LinkedIn's algorithm looks at the image, it says, I don't know what this is about.
It doesn't give it any credence.
I think if you put alternative text and a fairly descriptive, because you've got quite a few characters, about 300 characters to play around with your alternative text. If you put a good alternative text in there, LinkedIn's algorithm can read that alternative text and think, oh, that's more interesting. Maybe I'll promote it. But again, I haven't got any physical evidence to prove. Yeah, I haven't got any data to back this up, and I really ought to do a sort of series of posts. Maybe that's my task for next week. I'll do a series of posts to see. I'll do just a text with an image with alternate text on the image, and a text and image with no alternate text, and see what sort of responses I get. If I do it on the same sort of subject, there might be a bit of fatigue in the audience from seeing 3 posts in one go.
Listening to our podcast, I don't know exactly what you do now.
This is a bit of an experiment.
Absolutely.
I'll say, not this again, Alan.
Well, maybe I'll start.
Oh, we've seen this before, haven't we?
Maybe I'll start this afternoon and run it for 3 days this week. I'll do 3 different posts this week and see how it goes. All as part of the Friday fix.
That's a really good, useful tip, because I'd seen the little thing that said add alt text.
Yeah.
But sometimes, can't be bothered with that. It's too much trouble. But if it's going to get you that much more engagement.
I suppose it wouldn't be on there. I suppose they wouldn't bother giving you the opportunity to do it if it didn't mean something, I suppose, is the logical thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole reason for it is to enable the search engines, not just LinkedIn. But I mean, if you're putting stuff out on your website, if you don't have alternative text on those images on your website, then when Google trolls them, it doesn't know what those images are all about. So, one of the key tricks that people miss when they do Google ads is, first of all, you've got to get a landing page that's specific to that ad, that it actually backs up and actually answers the question that people are going to pose in Google to get to that page. And then the images that you use on there have got to have alternative text on them to reinforce that this is what that page is going to answer. Because Google is all about making sure people that do searches get the right answer. That's what they see as the most important thing. So if you want your Google ads to really work, you've got to focus on the landing page, alternative text in all the images, and that will get your quality score up. And if your quality score is high, then your cost per click will go down quite dramatically. I used to, when I ran a motorhome business, I used to have a quality score of 9 or 10 for all of my ads. And that meant that whilst I would be prepared to pay, say, £2 a click, because I got such a good quality score, I would often pay half of that and get my ads further up the chain than people that were prepared to pay double that because their ads weren't relevant. Yeah. Google will not say, I can get more money from that client there by putting their ad first, because they know that if they do that and the ad doesn't meet the expectations of the person doing the search, then they might not come back to use Google again. So they're much prepared, they're much happier to take a lower income from the clicks if it meets the objective of person doing the search, because they know then the person will come back and always use Google.
There's
no way
algorithms can look at a picture and decide where it is, really. They're not that clever yet, are they? You know, or a video, they don't know. You know, it's just an image, isn't it? Or it's just a video, or it's just, so it makes sense. It makes perfect sense,
Yeah. I mean, they can use a picture to search for other pictures that look like that picture, but they still don't know what the picture means. Yeah. So whilst the picture paints 1,000 words on the internet, it says bugger all.
Yeah, we might use that in the title of this. Yeah.
that's the title of the podcast.
Some interesting stuff there. Yeah, we delved into Google as well. How good is that?
Yeah,
thank you, Alan, for your expertise there.
Double whammy there.
Do you have a?
Oh yes. Before you go, we usually ask all our visitors or all our guests if they have a tip,
a favorite networking tip to share.
Yeah, my favorite networking tip is about setting something I call your RAS. Now, your RAS is the reticular activating system, and it's a part of the brain that spots patterns. So, for example, when my wife first became pregnant, everywhere I went, all I could see was pregnant women. It's just as if there was going to be a sudden explosion of births. Now, there were the same number of women pregnant around before she got pregnant as there were after she got pregnant. I just had never noticed them because my mind wasn't focused on pregnancy.
It's like a red car, isn't it, as well?
And it's the same. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you go for a go and have a test drive in a car, wherever you go after that, you will see the same model and the same color everywhere. But it's because you hadn't been looking for it before, but you are now. So if you set your RAS for what you want to get out of a networking meeting before you go to it, you are much more likely to find it. You are much more likely to have conversations that will help you find what you're looking for. So important thing is set your RAS before you go to a meeting. And I do that, but I have a OneNote template, which I have for all networking meetings that I go to. And it has, what's my RAS? What's my message for the chat box? What's my connection message if I find somebody on there that I haven't met before and I want to send them a connection message? What are the notes I'm going to take from speaking to people on the meeting? And then I've got a slot for the chat, which I copy and paste into the note as well. And that enables me to keep track of every single meeting. So I've got all of my Zoom meetings for the last 6 months are in my notebook, and I can find exactly when I spoke to somebody, why we're having a one-to-one, what they said in the chat, what they do, and all the notes from the meeting.
Well organized,
excellent
that,
advice, absolutely.
Terrifying, isn't it?
We'll be on that log somewhere.
Yeah, we must be in there somewhere, I'd imagine. Yeah.
You will be, yes.
Okay, well, that's lovely. Thank you so much.
It's been
Alan,
excellent.
For that, sharing your information. That's really, really
good. Thanks, Alan. Some good stuff there today, I think. Yeah, thank you.
Thank
you for your time.
Much.
Appreciate you coming along.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
We're almost at the end of this week's show, but before we go, we're excited to tell you about our In Business Talks To episode this coming Tuesday. Our special guests on Tuesday's podcast are Abigail and Chloe Baldwin of Buttercrumble, a graphic design agency. We're really looking forward to speaking to the twins and digging deeper into their experiences as a business partnership.
Thanks so much for joining us this week on In Business Talks 2 Friday Fix. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, all we ask is that you simply tell a friend about the show. We'd really appreciate it. So, until next time, this is Ian and Tracy, and together
we are in business. Where were you?
I forgot.
Shall we try that again?
I left that bit for you, yeah. So, until next time. This is Ian and Tracy, and together
we are in business. Goodbye.
Goodbye.